Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry that's given so much to me and my family. Guys, today I'm coming from you, if you're on YouTube, live from Cabo, getting ready to hit the stage, but I wanted to make sure you guys get your content for the week. So I have a podcast that I recorded. I was interviewed on another podcast and it was so good. There were so many great questions with a couple of my good buddies, Shane and Dwayne. They had some great, great questions, and it was a great interview, great insight that I wanted to share with you guys as well. So stay tuned. That's our episode for this week, and I hope next year you can join me in beautiful Cabo. Have a great day.
Here we go. Here we go. All right. Welcome to another episode of Real Estate Agent Life. Today, we're coming to you from all around the globe, right? All around the U.S., so three different states being represented here. I'm Dwayne from Wisconsin. That's Shane from Alabama.
And sweet home, Alabama.
Sweet home, Alabama. And right shortly here, we're going to introduce you to our guest. But as always, we want to connect you with some of the best leaders and producers and just influencers, leader is probably the better word, from around the United States. And we definitely have one of those on our podcast today. Shane, who do we got?
Yeah. So I think that, you guys are in for a great treat. Yeah. If you know Matt Smith, then, you already know what you're about to get. But ladies and gentlemen, we have Matt Smith today. Matt Smith is, out of Missouri. Matt currently has a team of over 40-plus Rockstar team members. They're pushing just right around that 5,000 total closed unit mark since Matt's been in business. You know, a little backstory with Matt. Matt started, and I've looked at some of Matt's early pictures. You guys need to go out there and look at some of the old pictures of Matt when he was grinding it out. But Matt closed over 70 plus homes in his first year in business, and crushed over 10 million in sales. So Matt is absolutely living the dream, but he lives it, he walks it, talks it, and he models and demonstrates it. His market, where he serves today, Matt and his team, are constantly 20-25% of market share. Matt and his team, we just discussed this, has been the number one team, in Missouri, and also the number two team statewide, and there are some heavy hitters in the state of Missouri. So Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you?
I'm great, gentlemen. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, so before you become so successful and have lifted up so many around you to do the same, what did you do before real estate? Like, what's your backstory?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town. And my when I say small town, there were no stoplights, there were no restaurants. My graduating high school class had 30 kids. Oof. So I grew up small town. My first job growing up, which shaped a lot of the trajectory of habits and what I like to call work ethic, which seems to disappear in today's society, came from where I grew up. And so my grandma owned a sawmill when I was growing up. And so I started working at the sawmill when I was 12 years old during summer break. While all my friends were going out and having fun, I was making $20 a day at a sawmill stacking slabs. And so if you've ever seen a sawmill before, you know that's some hard work. So that's kind of where my work ethic started, that I'm very, very blessed for, because it still serves me to this day. Started the sawmill. And then I don't know what it was. I think it's just, I feel like there was this feeling inside of me that I was meant for more and that I was capable of more. And so I just started on this crazy personal development journey way back then, and started reading books and, learning from other people that had kind of walked a path of success. And it kept the fire burning. And I I'm a person of action. I just went to my family at the sawmill and said, I quit. Love you guys, but I need to do more. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? I don't know, but I can't do it while I'm working here. And so a couple jobs later, just making ends meet, stumbled onto real estate and haven't looked back since.
Go ahead. I know, and Dwayne, I can, go ahead. I don't want to, because I can jump in.
I'm thinking back to my days right out of high school working at Marion Plywood, stacking slabs, and having a. I wasn't there very long, and I tell you what, I didn't have that much clarity leaving there to go get into anything but trouble, and probably another 100 jobs after that. But I can relate with like sitting there in that sweatshop and just stacking wood and getting fingers crushed and whatnot, and just going, "Wow, like there's got to be more. There's just got to be more."
Yeah, and I think it's what's interesting is you know, the reason one of the biggest purposes for this podcast is because there are a lot of individuals, you know, buyers, sellers, but there's also a lot of individuals that come into the business or that are in the business, and they're on that path, they're on that journey. They're in some bigger markets, smaller markets, medium-sized markets, and they're always like, you know, it's such a tough grind, it's such a tough business. So when you have someone that comes from a graduation class of 30 to a small town, to still a small town, 300 agents, right?
Yep.
You know, and then agents are in these markets with 1,000 agents, 3,000, 30,000 agents, and like, it's so tough, it's so hard. Coming from that small town, right. Even the association that operate one of our offices in today is, you know, I mean, it's 500 agents. It was 400 agents, 350 agents when we started. So, you know, that's very impressive, very impressive. It's, you know, to show that you don't have to be from the 30,000 or the 3,000 or the 1,000, you know, agent association. Like, it actually starts with you. Right. So when you left the family business, what connected you to real estate? Where did you go, you know what, I think I'm going to go, you know, get into real estate and sell 70 plus homes in my first year?
Yeah, really good question. So at that time, I was a dumb kid that didn't know any better. I just knew that, like, I'm a person of action. I had this thought of I need to do more. And it's thinking back, like, where that feeling came from, so maybe the audience can relate, is that I had quickly worked my way up in the sawmill, right? And so, like, I was basically the foreman for the entire sawmill. As I was on this personal development journey, I was just like, I kept hearing proximity is power. You are the average of the five people you spend most time with. And so I started observing my audience. And like, they were amazing people that worked at the sawmill, but like, it just didn't inspire me. And I was already in charge, and I was 18, 19 years old, you know? And so I wanted to surround myself with people and that were at a path in life that I wanted to achieve. And so I just knew I couldn't do it there. And so when I make up my mind, I just make it up. Right. And so I just did it. And so come to find out, it wasn't as easy to find a job when I quit than I thought it would be. Right. And bills still had to be paid. So I actually stumbled across, my next job was much easier. I was pouring concrete. And I started pouring concrete for, I don't know, probably 6 months or so just to pay the bills. And then I just kept the job search going. I actually got fired. The only job I've ever got fired from was that one. And it was because I was going on other job interviews. Right. And so finally the boss is like, dude, you got to show up to work more than 4 days a week. I'm like, well, I got an interview every week. I'm like, you knew I wasn't going to be here forever. Anyway, it worked out because that time that I got fired, the interview that I went on, I actually got hired. And it was a credit card processing sales company. And I don't know how I convinced them that I was a good fix. I had zero sales experience. It was a remote position. I think they just hired me because they just burn and turn salespeople and they just needed somebody in my area. I think is really how I got the job. But what's crazy is I learned very, very quickly. One of my superpowers is I'm able to simplify things. And so I think so many people make things very, very complex. And that is a form of them avoiding doing the work that is required. And I'm not afraid of hard work, going back to the work ethic thing, right? I'm not afraid of that. And so I've just got this ability to take something that's a big problem and to simplify it into what is the next thing I need to do. And then I just do the next thing. And so I use that very, very quickly inside of the sales position that I don't know how I got. And I made this simple equation that I still use and teach and coach people today, is that sales equals solving problems. If I can find the problem, I can solve the problem, I can make a sale. Too many times we try to make a sale by it's the me, it's the how the features and benefits of what I can do for you. And it's the, like, the ego pitch. What I learned early on is that I need to find their problem, their true problem, not their like, you got to go deep in the problem, not their like surface level problem, depth of problem. And then if I can solve it, I'll make a sale. And very quickly that turned into, I became number one in the region in that company in the first 3 months. With zero sales.
Good gamble for them.
Yeah.
Good gamble for them.
Yeah. And then I there's multiple jobs in between, and as I just kept climbing that ladder of trying to find that next thing, I actually was with my wife on it. She worked for a property management company, and they had like a Christmas party every year. And so this was like year two or three going to a Christmas party inside of that property management company. And the boss, the owner of that company, we were drinking, right, and having a good time, Christmas party. And he's like, why don't you come work for me? I said, well, how much money can I make? He said, well, the average agent here made $75,000 last year. I said, cool, I'll be there Monday. Right? Like, when I make a decision, I just make a decision. Right? And because at that point, like, that was more money than I'd ever thought I would make in my life. Right? And I'm like, and I know the average work ethic. I know my work ethic. I know my proven track record in this sales environment background that I've kind of climbed through. Like, I think I can double that. Right? And so I just bet on me. What I didn't know, because we were drinking, is that you needed this thing called a real estate license. And so I quit my job and showed up, and I didn't have a license. And so I had to go get my license. Right. And so anyway,
that is like
long story short,
instant action.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's impulse purchasing.
Well, I mean, like, it's funny looking back, but also, like, that's one of the reasons that I have some of the successes that I've had is ready, fire, aim. Too many people overanalyze. I probably underanalyze at times, but I'm not afraid of the work that causes behind it. And I think so many people get paralysis by analysis because they're avoiding the work that they know it'll require. And I just simplify and do the next thing. And so anyway, I got my license. My very first full year, I paid more money in taxes than I'd ever made in my life. And I've never looked back.
That is.
I also see a Jordan Belfort, that scene in Wall Street. It's like, show me a pay stub for what's $77,000, and I'm coming to work for you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. He's like, bam. He's like, I'm done. I'm in.
That's hilarious.
You know exactly the scene that I'm talking about. Like, you can't be in sales and not know that movie art from start to finish. So let me ask you this though. You're an amazing story. Like, it's a compelling story, and what makes it so compelling is, you know, the family business, the small town, the small association. And I've been privy to hear your story of your, the good times you've had in a few different brokerages as you come across up through the ranks, which kind of sounds like, you know, when you're the only job you were fired from. But anyway, I digress. Walk me through your biggest success in business thus far, right? Like, you've had some, and the little bit of time I've been around you last couple of years, like, I've seen a pretty good bit of your success. What's your biggest success look like?
So that's a loaded question, and I think it's a really good question. And I think that if you would have asked me multiple times throughout my journey, that answer has continued to evolve and change as I've evolved and changed. If you're asking the me now what that is, the biggest success that I have is, I'll tell you a story that I relate to, is that there was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company that was being interviewed. And the interview, like, this guy was super busy. So the interviewer said, I'll just catch you in your Uber ride to your next meeting and we'll do the interview there. Right. And so he's in the car and they're driving from place to place and he's interviewing me. He asked him that exact question. What is your biggest accomplishment? What are you most proud of in your career? You've achieved this and this and this. What are you most proud of? And he thinks for a minute. He looks around and he points. He says, you see this subdivision? You see all these homes? That's what I'm most proud of. And the interviewer was confused. He said, are you a developer? Is this a passion project for you? Like, what is it that you're most proud of about those? He said, well, I've created space in a company where these multi-million dollar homes are filled with people that work in our organization. They are living the lives of their dreams inside of our organization. And that's what I'm most proud of. And that's what I relate to. Like, I do this, like, I got goosebumps. You guys can't see, I have long sleeves on, but I have goosebumps right now because that's inside of my heart. That's why I do what I do, is so that I can see other people transform their lives. And I'm blessed to be not only as a team leader and our amazing agents and our team that have continued to do that and push that envelope every day, but also as a coach for John Cheplak and being a coach for some top team leaders across the country. Like, I get to do that shit every single day. Like, that's what I do for a living. Like, so much so that I'm a girl dad. I have two daughters, 13 and 8, and they don't even know I have a job. They just know that I go help people. Where are you going, Dad? I'm going to help people today, right? Like, because that's just my focus. And it's one of the things that whenever you just, when you actually just change your lens and you focus on how many people can I help and how can I impact other people's lives, life becomes fun. And it's not really a job. The hard times become easier. The good times become better. And it's, I mean, that feeling that I get, at least for me, of fulfillment, there's no amount of money that can replace it.
Well said.
Without a doubt.
Well said. And girl dad, it comes at a price. Like, girls are big investments. Girls are big investments.
Shane understands that very clearly.
I tell you, I love the opportunity. I've been blessed. Thank you, God. But I never will have to worry about losing my motivation.
So with the success of your people and what you're growing and what you're doing, and it keeps getting bigger all the time. When you look at your coaching and the people you're influencing and your team, and Shane and I have both had the pleasure of meeting some of your leadership team, and right, and you're creating and helping lead and make rock stars. I mean, it's just amazing to watch their growth. On your end of it, success, right? They always say success is a double-sided coin. It's not always just all roses. It's not always just success. What would you deem as one of your biggest, let's say, failures in business?
So I have a lot of failures. And I think that's one of the reasons for my success, right? Is that I'm not afraid to fail. Because I don't think, and it's a cliche, right? But it's a cliche because it's true. I don't think failure is final. I don't think failure is fatal. I think failure is an opportunity to learn and grow. And so many people don't learn lessons in life because they're afraid to take action and they're afraid of the failure, right? And so I have many, many, many of them. I think one of the things that, I don't know if it's a regret, because I learned lessons along the way. I try to live life without regrets, but it's something looking back and reflecting that I do my best not to repeat that mistake. And I also try to coach others not to make that same mistake. Would be like, as I was growing and progressing, I had accomplished more than I ever thought was possible. And I've been very blessed to do that multiple times, and I have to continue to do the deep inner work so that I can continue to grow to help others. And I devalued the relationships I had in my life. And I became someone that started reading my own press clippings, and I became someone that was a leader of, well, I've built this business and you just do what I say, not what I do. I don't have to work anymore. You do the work. And it was just this weird, like, I created this toxicity and an environment. I lost some good people. I burned some great bridges. And it was a leadership lesson for me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, looking back, I just choose to look at life through the lens of things don't happen to me. They happen for me. And so, like, without that, I'm probably not the leader that I am today. So it's a good thing that it happened. But going back, I wish I could have done it differently, because I think that it's like, success is great. Money is great. Accomplishments and accolades, all that is great. But if you do that without elevating and bringing people with you, it's not near as fun, right? And it's not near as rewarding, because like I said, like, the coolest feeling that I get is, like, I mean, you guys were in Tahoe at the event. Like, yeah. The fact that I got to acknowledge amazing humans that are in my world from the stage because of the work and the development that they went through, like that was 10 times better than me ever speaking on stage. Right. Like, and it's like, that's the stuff that I wish I would have recognized and captured early.
I think as a leader, I think you get those little chip. I think you get those little check stops along the way. I mean, I don't know if anyone all of a sudden just becomes a massive leader of an organization and super successful and whatever, and doesn't have some of those moments like you just described along the way to make you even better, to get you refocused, to really truly pitch you onto what's truly important. I think we've all been there. Like you said, you kind of read your own press clippings and everything I touch turns to gold, sometimes it takes a pretty hard smack to refocus and truly put it on what's most important. So,
well, that's that balancing act, stay hungry, stay humble. Mm-hmm. We see it as a quote, we see it as a nice, piece of artwork for the wall. But, staying hungry, staying humble, I think that is exactly what you just said. you climbed so much coming up, and then at each level, in order to get to that next level, you had to look around, you go, that's what is done here is not enough, and yep. I can do more, right? And then it's just like sometimes you forget to reach back. You forget to reach back. And I think that that's where the ceiling begins to collapse on top, or you begin to hit that ceiling very quickly, is because you forgot to reach back and grab those people. And those people help raise that ceiling so you can climb higher.
Yeah, very well said. And I think, too, like just on that topic a little deeper, is that I've been very, very privileged to be in a lot of rooms with a lot of high performers like you guys over the last several years. And I just sit back and I observe a lot, and I'm very, very observant and self-aware, which I think is what a lot of successful people are able to do. And what I've realized is that there are a few sticking points that I see of great high performers in these high performance rooms. And number one sticking point is going from a top producing salesperson to a leader. They think, hey, I'm a great salesperson, and so the next natural step is to become a leader. But why do people get stuck there? Is because sales and leadership do have parallel principles, but they're not the same thing. And what happens is like, let's go back to whenever we first start sales. When we first start sales, we have that rookie hat on, and we're coachable, and we're open-minded, and we're hungry, and we're humble. But now we've achieved. And so we have to realize when we go from high performing agent to leader, we're at the bottom again, and we got to start back over, and we got to go back to kindergarten. We got to humble ourselves. We got to remove the ego. We got to be just as open-minded and coachable as we were when we were a rookie salesperson. But that is so hard for us to do, and the ego inside of us to go back and relearn that, because we just have achieved that success. But so for anyone listening right now, if you're able to make that adjustment, you won't hit that ceiling like Shane described, and you'll be able to continue to break through and climb. And then the next sticking point that I see is, let's say that people make that transition successfully. Another thing required for that, from my perspective, is to, I think all of us have this like chip on our shoulder of people that told us that we couldn't, or different things that motivate us and drive us. And I have a lot of those that are still stored away. And I use them whenever I need to. Right. But used to, back whenever I hit my ceiling or my sticking point, that's all I had, was proving other people wrong. And what I found there is that's that part of that sticking point is not only that transition I just described, but also having that transition of finding what's next in life. Instead of doing things to prove people wrong, what if you could actually do things to make an impact in other people's lives? And like, if you go back to like the old movie days, if you got the devil on one shoulder telling you the bad things and you got the angel on the other shoulder, right? Like, who's the angel in your life? What are the things you're trying to accomplish? Who are you trying to help? Who are you trying to, like Shane said, look back and lift up with you? And what impact do you want to make in their lives? And if you can continue, if you can make that transition, then I think you can transition into be a phenomenal team leader, because you have to do it for other people. And then there's another sticking point too, for, depending on where you're at in your audience and where you're at in your business, but it's going from salesperson to leader, and then it's going from leader of salespeople to leader of leaders, because that takes a whole nother caliber. And the only reason I know these things, because guess what? I got stuck there for a long time and I worked my way out and I learned lessons. I look back and I reflect and I'm like, ah, shoot, why did I do it that way? I should have done this. And so hopefully there's some value there for your audience of, because I think, I mean, why do most people quit in real estate, or why do they go from, I want to start a team to I'm going to get back in production, or anything that is relevant to like the stories that we hear right now in this marketplace of people that are struggling. I think that's their transition where people struggle. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the reasons why.
Man, that was you hit a lot of good stuff right there. A lot of bombs. We need the bomb button like Bradley. That was good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I think that we've all been at that place in life. It's like, I don't like where this is. And it typically comes from youth. Come from being a younger person and seeing things like I'm not gonna live like this forever. When I have control of my environment, when I have control of my, input and output, or if I control the input, I'm gonna control the output. And it's like, but you get to that crossroads, because just like you said, like, I'm gonna outperform everybody around me. You get to that crossroad really quick, right? You do run the fastest 440, you do run the fastest mile, but then it's like, that's not fulfilling. Like the tank's empty with that. It's like, what's the next thing? Okay, now it's turning around and seeing who's trying to run that 40, who's trying to run that mile, who's trying to get to those crossroads. Because when they get to those crossroads, you got to be able to go, okay, now you got to change your mindset and you got to think at a higher level. Good stuff, man. That was gold.
It's so good. And that reminds me of something else too that I had wrong for so many years. Like, and I think this is relevant on that topic is, like, let's say that someone's struggling right now, or guess what? Here's the truth. If you're not struggling right now, you just overcame something you were struggling with, or something you're going to struggle with is right around the corner. That's just life, right? And so for whenever that happens for you, as you're listening to this, I just want you to, like, I want to go deeper in the analogy of, like, you got to take care of yourself so you can take care of others. I think so many people don't understand that at the depth that they should. And I'm not sure I did until recently. It's like, hey, you're on a plane and you're sitting next to your kid. What do they say if in a case of emergency, you put your own oxygen mask on first? Well, that goes against every fiber of my being as a parent. Like, no, I got to take care of my kids first. But I can't take care of my kids if I don't take care of myself, right? And so, like, I want to use this as an analogy of, like, you mentioned the like pouring out of a cup or an empty cup, is that the best analogy that I've heard on, like, to explain that you got to take care of yourself so you can take care of others is, number one, you got to find a true fulfillment and passion. It's not money. It's not success. Shane hit the nail on the head. It's fulfillment. What fulfills you? What gives you that feeling of, like, you're ready to run through a brick wall? Like, and if you can chase fulfillment, I promise you the money and success will come. Mm-hmm. And so what is, number one, figure out what that is and chase it. But number two is, like, if you want to give back to others, instead of thinking of an analogy, let's say I have a glass here, a glass of water that's full. Like, you, most of us think we have to pour out of our glass into others' glass. And so we have to, if we have an empty cup, we can't pour anything in. But the reality is, here's what great leaders and great successful people do that sustain it over a period of time. They fill their cup so full that it's overflowing and everyone else's is full because of it. And so it's not like I have to give myself so that I can give myself to others. I have to give myself so much that it's overflowing and everyone around me fills their cups too.
That's a moment of silence. That's just one of those moments of silence right there. If you heard dead airspace, that's why. That was everything he just said needed to be, had a pause taken and just let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, I had like no follow up to that. It's just like, I'm just going to let that one marinate in.
No,
I'm just going to let that one marinate, because that didn't need any more saying than just that.
Yeah, you have to be careful. Like, we're in a podcast. We got to keep shooting.
I'm trying to, okay, dude, don't let it marinate too much, because, like, now you're, like, thinking deep on it. Like,
Yeah. That's leading leaders,
Wow.
Matt, let me ask you this. everybody's got, that grandparent, parent, athlete, book, you know, just some type of influence in their life that's made the greatest impact. And when we get to this conversation with a lot of great people that we've had on this podcast, it sometimes gets a little tough for them simply from the fact that they've had so many different great influences that, that made different influences, different paths of their life. Who has made the greatest influence in Matt Smith's life and business?
Yeah. So I'm going to be like many of your guests that you've had. I would have to think really, really deep to just pick one. Is it cool if I go through different phases that came to mind? Cool. Yeah. Because I think we're all in this journey of success and phases. And like my journey is nowhere near done. Neither are your guys's, right? Like we're waking up every single day chasing the best version of ourselves. And so I think that that to me, that's success, right? And so no matter where you're at. And so like, let me go back to the very beginning. One of the very first books that I read that had a massive impact on my life was The Magic of Thinking Big. Because I'm from a small town. I was surrounded by small-minded people. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I'm just, they were full of limiting beliefs, right? They just never had anything bigger. And so the it gave me permission to start thinking and dreaming bigger. The Magic of Thinking Big. I've read that book probably 15 times.
Yeah.
Because as you grow, like you still, you got, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And then the next thing that comes to mind would be, honestly, Andy Frisella. And so I started listening to the MF CEO project. I went to his very first in-person event that he hosted in the Busch Stadium, in the St. Louis Cardinals Busch Stadium. Him and Ben Newman hosted a, I don't know, 100-person event. I was in the room, and I've listened to every single episode that he has had multiple times. And there's like, I truly don't believe I would be where I'm at without that. Like he gave the playbook for free. Right. And still is doing it. And so there's a lot of things that I model and emulate from learning from him. I also think this is a different perspective, is that I think those are like North Stars, right? Those are like helping me think bigger. I believe too, some of our biggest lessons come from our South Stars, come from the people in our lives that we see, we learn from, we observe. And we're like, oh, I don't want to go down that path. Right. And so one of the biggest influences of that has been, Shane, you kind of alluded earlier to like some of my brokerage transition stories that you've heard of. And so it hasn't all been sunshine and rainbows. And so I believe that I learned a lot of lessons because I was like, I want to go back to when I got into real estate. I paid more money in taxes that year than I'd ever made in my life. That kind of quick success can cause all kinds of confusion in your brain, can cause all kinds of ego filled. Like you got to be very, very careful. And I was very, very fortunate that I have a strong foundation and values of who I want to be, who I am, and who I want to become, that I was able to look around and look at people in that environment that I did not want to become like. And I learned a lot of lessons from of leadership. I learned a lot of lessons on building culture. I learned a lot of lessons from people that were behaving in manners that I did not want to become. And so in a weird way, that was a huge guide. I would not have the team I have today without that experience. I would not be the leader that I am today without those negative experiences. Because I got to see what bad leadership looked like. I got to see what top-down leadership looked like. I got to see what the attitude of everyone is replaceable look like. And I'm like, I want to build with people. Like, and it really helped change that perspective for me of people that put money first over people, right? And so like, it really helped shape me into the leader that I am today. Fast forward to another book, speaking on culture, would be The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. That is the best culture book on the planet. As a matter of fact, my leadership team and I are reading it right now before we do our offsite next week for business planning for 2026, because we have to practice what we preach of culture over sales. And so we're going to go back, like that's just the best book in the world for it. So that's a really good one. And then last, but certainly not least, right now, if I were to pick the person that has the most impact in my life right now, it's John Chepleck. As a coach, as a mentor, as a friend, he is just the example. of what hard work looks like, what putting other people first looks like, what bringing people along with you, what staying the course and staying true to the mission, really? Even when life hits you really, really hard. Like there's just a lot of lessons that I've learned from that man.
Yeah. That dude's on another level. Like it's, you know, when your child goes through what, man, that's just,
yeah.
And you're still leading from the front like that. Like, I mean, there's nothing else to say. Like that is the epitome of what every man should want to lead. Like
that is aligned 1,000% alignment with the mission over everything.
Yeah.
And it's just like people say that, but how many people do it when you're in something like that?
Yeah, I go back to a podcast or I think even a stage presentation that Ed Milet does all the time with Being the One. And I mean, and John just is living that, right? Being the one for his family and changing the generational path and just finally rising up and saying, no, I'm going to be the one, right? So if, you know, and just living it and breathing it. And it's to watch it from as close proximity as we all are, is really something to see and very inspirational. So Matt,
that's really good. Sorry to cut you off, Dwayne. No. That's really good. You reminded me of another one, Ed Milet, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. So Ed, I've watched the Be the One speech that he's done like probably 15 times, right? Like there's a common theme here for those of you listening. Quit going out and trying to find something new. Find something you relate to and watch it over or read it over and over again. Watch it over and over again and master it. That's where success truly comes from. So what's crazy is I'm thinking back through my journey is like Andy was the first person that I really resonated with. Like I'm like, this guy speaks my language.
Yeah.
Another book speaking my language that made me realize that I'm still crazy and I've got a couple of screws loose, but I'm not alone. Was the book Relentless by Tim Grover.
Yep.
Really, really good book. Right. And then I resonated with Andy. And then as I resonated learning more with Andy, as I matured as a leader, emotional intelligence, emotional maturity kind of grew. I still relate with Andy and he's like my spirit animal, but I started relating more and more with Ed. Right. Because he's that version, just a different perspective. And so everything that those two touch are golden. So anything that you would listen to of them certainly would help.
Yeah, those are all good titles. I see them. Once you start reading and consuming and stacking them on a shelf, that you have to have multiple shelves. So I see those books, all of those books that you just mentioned, within just a little over arm's reach away.
Yeah.
Relentless. Like I read that book every year.
Yeah.
Every year, because I need that Tim Grover voice, Tim Grover's voice. Like you read the book, you listen to it in Audible. It's like, wow, this dude, he's definitely some screws loose, and I like it. But it's that Mamba mentality. It's that Michael Jordan mentality. You know, you may not ever be the next Kobe Bryant or the next Michael Jordan, but you can be of what you're trying to accomplish. Can be
the highest version of you for sure. So Matt, you had hit on a little bit, everyone's at a different path. There might be some that are just starting in this path of real estate. There might be some that have been on the path for a little bit, potentially struggling, maybe getting some success as well. What's something that you would tell someone in their younger years, or what do you wish that somebody would have told you? Like what would be some advice that you would give yourself way back when that you might not have received?
That's really good. What's coming to mind is it'll all be worth it. All the sacrifices, all the late nights, all the lawsuits, all the money being stolen, all of the doubts, all the sacrifice, all the time away from family, everything that is required to reach success, it will be worth it because of the impact that you will be able to have not only on your life, your family's life, but also the lives of the people around you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yep. Yes, and more yes.
Thank you for speaking into my soul right now.
You know, when I speak,
but I don't care. I'm just gonna take that one for me and you know what? Yeah.
Well, when I sent you the message the other day, and I nudged you on Facebook a little bit. I know what kind of schedule you got, and when you connect with the right people, like, and of course our lives are open books and social media, what have you. I see you. You know, you're a great leader, dude. Like, you're a great operator, and these are two different things. And I see you as a great dad. Like, you guys are doing a great job with your family. Like, that's super awesome. So I just want to commend you for that. But, just say how much I appreciate you hopping on this podcast, because I was expecting, like, you know, I've got December the 7th from like this window right here, like Friday, and I'm sitting here with Dwayne. I'm like, well, what's Friday look like? And he's like, nah, it's mad. Let's make it happen, right?
Because it could be February. Let's go.
Well, I want to speak on that, right? Did I have other shit that I could be doing right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But success loves speed. And stop thinking so much and just do it and get it over with. And like, I don't know what'll come off this podcast, but I respect both of you gentlemen. I appreciate you. And you, like, it's an honor you asked me to be here. I'm like, I can move that thing later. Let's just make time for it. And so I think so many people are like, well, it doesn't fit in my schedule or it's inconvenient. So what? Right? If it's a priority, do it. And don't, like, I was on a Zoom earlier today with Brent Goff, who is extremely successful. Mm-hmm. And he said, someone said, can we meet up? Can we meet up a week from next Wednesday? He's like, how's Monday sound? And it was just like an example of like, why are we waiting? Let's just do it now. Like, and so like, that's just the mentality that I try to teach myself. And so I think it's an example of that hopefully the audience can learn from that is like, did it fit perfectly? Did I have an hour time block for a podcast this Friday? No. But I made it work because, like, you know what? That can make a bigger impact, and it can serve my mission of impacting other humans more importantly than me checking my email for this hour.
Discomfort leads to discipline. I think you already have a lot of that already. So it's very evident of that as your success continues to grow, and so is the success of the people around you. Dwayne, ask the question. You know, ask the question. I like it when you ask this question, because when I ask it, I don't get to hear it because I'm asking it. So ask the question. At the end, ask that question.
I've got one that I ponder quite a bit myself, and ask myself this same question out loud from time to time, and that's one of those where we all have a clock. It's ticking, right? And it's. It's not infinite. It's finite. So we don't know when our clock's going to expire. Like, when it's time, it's time. When yours comes to an end, how do you want people to remember, Matt?
Man.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Because it could be tomorrow, right? We don't know.
That's really good. So I think... And please go deeper if this doesn't answer, but what's popping to mind is that I made a decision a long time ago. And that decision was that I observe, right? And I learn. And what I observed is that so many people are living for their resume. They're living for their accolades. They're living for the pat on the back. They're living for the attaboys. And I'm like, I don't want to, like, that doesn't motivate me anymore. Maybe it did once upon a time. It just doesn't inspire me. It doesn't fulfill my mission. And it's not about me. It's so much bigger than that. And so instead of living for my resume, I started living for my eulogy. When that day happens, I want to make such an impact in people's lives that they got to go to freaking Kansas City Chiefs football stadium to have my funeral, because so many people are waiting to give their thanks for the impact that I made in their lives. I just want to serve, and I want to help people, and I want to make such an, and not for me. But I have achieved more than I ever thought possible. I come from a broken home. I have every excuse in the world that I should not be successful. And I still have a long way to go, but I've achieved so much more than I ever thought possible. I achieved more in a month now than I thought I would ever achieve in a 3-year period. right? Like, that's just the life that I'm blessed to live. And I just feel this insane purpose to give back to others and help them realize that they can achieve their own potential. And so the impact that I can make on other people's lives is just, that's what I live for.
Yeah, I love it.
That was that question. It's such a deep question, a strong question, but it's one you have to process for a second. You really have to process. Cause I mean, we can answer it 100 different ways. It's all going to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's all going to be right.
I think it may be a different answer every day.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a peek into your soul type question. It just peeks right in. So thank you.
I want to
read this to you guys. Cause I need to have this memorized, but I think that getting clarity on your mission, on why you do what you do, your mission, your purpose, your whatever you want to call it, is extremely important. And so I want to read like my latest rendition, because this, I think it's a moving target. And this is a target that I think is big enough that it'll remain my mission for a while. But the mission is to change and impact lives so that I can create security and experiences for the people I love that they otherwise wouldn't have without me, and to be the example of what's possible.
That's fire. I gotta have the buttons. I gotta have the buttons. I need the buttons.
There's a reason why you don't get buttons.
I need the buttons. That's, man.
Now you have that statement. Where do you keep that to where you see it every day?
So it's in my notes section, and it's in a calendar, copied and pasted every single morning. It's the first thing I wake up to.
I love it.
Also, I love
it. Like I said, that's something you can't just write it and leave it, or you have, I believe, with something that powerful and something that you believe in, it has to be front and center. It has to be in front of you, like every day.
Yep. And in addition to that, say it out loud every day, number one. And then number two is, are you adding depth to understanding on your mission every day? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going through the motions?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that means something new to me every single day. And I think about it and I process it. And like, what does impact really mean? Like, who are the people that I love? Like, that gets bigger every day, right? Like, mm-hmm. What is the impact that I want to make? Right? So, yeah, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a gift for us. Like, yep. the listeners, the viewers are going to get a great treat, but we got it first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got it first.
I don't know about everybody else, but I just got 45 minutes worth of free coaching and life advice. So,
notes.
I mean, I just cash my check. So thanks.
John's email about, hey, I'm going to call, a power hour on my way to the ranch. And Mike sent us that screenshot. He's like, hey, I'm like, I'm there in April. I was there in August. I'm going to be there in December for 4 days in a row. Trust me, I'm getting my wheelbarrows full of that value. But it's been worth it connecting with all you guys.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to put, as Shane always says, let's put a little bow on this. So we truly, truly appreciate your time, Matt. And for all those that are listening, I hope that you get something out of this episode. I know that without a doubt, I know I've got volumes of notes and another podcast I'm going to have to go back and listen to several times to be able to soak it all in. I know Shane got a ton out of it as well. We hope you did. We hope you did too. So if you liked what you heard, there's a couple of things for you to do. There's a little button somewhere. I don't know. Maybe it's up. Maybe it's down. Somewhere where you're listening right now. Hit that button. It's called subscribe. Then you get to hear more of our amazing, amazing guests. What do we do with that button?
Smash
that subscribe button. There's also a 5-star review. You can go ahead and leave us a review. It helps us with Google juice, it moves us up the charts, and a little bit more people hear us, and we can help some more people on their journey in real estate and life. And I tell you what, if you know someone that this could help, Like, they just need that little push. They need to hear some Matt Smith life advice, because there's a ton of it packed in there. Share this with them. We're all in this together. There's more than enough for everybody. Help someone. You're going to help yourself by helping someone else. So send this episode to them. And as always, from Real Estate Agent Life, Dwayne, Shane, Matt, somewhere on the screen.
Peace.
We appreciate you. Peace.